You're welcome. All right, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, just so you know, I am pretty awesome. I mean, no, really, for real, I'm awesome. I am the fourth born child of Cradle to Grave Lutherans, who had me baptized before I was 6 months old. I went to church my entire life, made every church rite that was tradition at my home congregation. You know, the big ones, like getting my Bible, the Good News translation. Yeah, right? Everybody, you remember those Good News? They're great. My brother got the gold one. He got the, like, 1974 translation. A little bit better than my black one, but we won't go there. Anyway, I've digressed. I got my first Holy Communion. I got confirmed at ninth grade. There we go, not age nine, ninth grade. I can read, all right? I joined the youth group. We had weekly Bible study on Sunday morning and retreats, and it was great. And then when I was released to the wild and my own amazing devices, I chose to go to seminary after undergrad. I'm pretty awesome. Wouldn't you agree? You don't have to answer that. It's kind of loaded. And yet, not one of these qualifications earns me one thing. No star on my cap, no crown on my head, and actually not even bragging rights, especially in the church. Paul writes in his letter to the Philippians, "Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith." My apologies, because I fear I may get long-winded this week. These are powerful words and freeing words from Paul for us today and every day. When Paul says, "I have come to regard these gains as loss because of Christ," Paul is saying that his vast and impressive credentials, nor even his pedigree, Hebrew of Hebrews, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Sure, they help to make him who he is, but they don't define him in terms of salvation or grace or forgiveness or worthy of love. Only Jesus Christ offers salvation. Just knowing that Christ is our Lord frees us from everything in our past that would hinder our moving forward. Now, perhaps your past includes a history of run-ins with the law. Okay, or maybe it's not that cool. That wouldn't be cool, actually. Maybe it includes stealing or hurting others in words and deeds. Perhaps you have only been judgmental all your life, putting others down, even if only in your own mind, in an attempt not to feel the fear or shame that the culture around us has made so prevalent. It is even conceivable that you think, like my introduction, that you are awesome and have the most amazing upbringing ever, where all the T's were crossed and the I's were dotted. By the way, that introduction, not nearly a full picture of my upbringing. I was being ironic. But you could believe that there's nothing in your past that is hindering your movement forward into a life in Christ. And yet all situations, all possibilities, all of us, our entire beings, all of our backgrounds, and how we got to here right now, right this moment, as we are, all of us that we regard as gain, all of it is lost. Because through knowing Christ our Lord, all is made one with God. We are made one with God. We are redeemed and forgiven. We are brought into right relationship with our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, not because of anything we have done, but because of Christ our Lord. That's what Paul is saying. But it gets better. Okay, maybe I just think it gets better. But Paul goes on to emphasize that these things that he considered so important, so amazing, such gains in life, such reasons for measuring success, that he now regards them as rubbish, trash, garbage. This word rubbish, it's an awesome word. Well, actually, not the word rubbish itself. The Greek word, okay, I don't normally give you the Greek word, bear with me. It's one of the few Greek words I remember because it matters. The New Testament was written in Greek. So the original word is skubalon. I could spell it in Greek if you want, but it's okay. That's not really important. But the original Greek word is not simply trash or rubbish or, rubbish or garbage. That is much, 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 much too polite for that word. Although it is a very kind word for children's ears. You see, all of the things that Paul considers as gains, he's now actually calling human excrement or dung. Good cough. I like that. Well timed. Okay? Rubbish. Skubalon, the Greek word, actually means human excrement. Now, I'm sure you can creatively think of some other words that fit this definition that might be more akin to what Paul is saying now, and I invite you to share them, but not right now. You may share them as you feel appropriate after church, okay? In our house, we might use the year 2020 as a very appropriate term for rubbish right now. It's a good four-letter word. But Paul is saying that everything we consider gains is lost, trash, but it's more than that. You and I have also suffered the loss of many things. This year has given us a great example of that. Perhaps we've lost all things that we are used to, that we know. We have had to sacrifice ideas, ideals, hopes. And Paul calls us to regard them as dung so that we can gain Christ. Christ who is love. Love for all, and not just love for me and my own way and my own ideas. Christ who is compassion. Compassion for my neighbor who I cannot understand no matter how hard I have tried. Christ who is forgiveness. Forgiveness given freely without any strings attached. Through our baptisms, we have gained Christ and been claimed as children of God. The things in our past that tether us or hold us back, we have to let go so that we can grow more with Christ into the love of God, so that our words and our deeds follow our hope for God's redeeming love to be realized throughout this amazing world in which we live. Our passage ends with Paul writing, "Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." We press on. We move forward. We pick ourselves up and lend a hand to one another. If this is a race, we're in it together. We adapt and we grow and we change as we must. It will not always be fun or pleasant or even terrible. But God calls us disciples, and Jesus calls us friend. And with this call, our action is to go towards Christ, to continue and celebrate the little things, the joys, the gains that are now lost and rubbish, but the joy of Christ that lies ahead. We are not perfect, and neither God nor Christ nor Paul expects us to be so. But we do this with Christ and God's help, not on our own. Each day we seek and strive to be closer to God through prayer, words, and our actions. May we each take a step as the opportunity presents itself to move forward toward Christ. May we seek to share the love of God and the salvation found through Christ Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.